Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it's about the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, a garland instead of ashes. And the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. A whole bunch of things occurring today, and just over the weekend, I've got an email I just received, probably 20 minutes ago, that I'm going to share. I'm going to share it over the air, and just, you know, we just need to understand that some of this stuff is super raw, okay? And just want to make sure that we, you know, we have that understanding before I share it. There is there's a lot of moving pieces right now, but everything is starting to fall into place as we were talking about 6 months ago. We're right on the cusp of that. And we're going to go through that in detail here in a second on the intelligence briefing. But I want to back up for a second. And I want to talk about what it means for all of us to be true patriots in this time, but also, and more importantly, true Christians in this time. That we can't divorce the two. And as I said over the weekend during the sermon, I really feel this is critical. Right now, we have our public institutions departing from God. And as they depart from God, we actually need to be departing from those institutions, primarily the public school system. Because as Scripture says, and you can see this in Proverbs 1, you can see this later in Proverbs, but also in Ephesians 6:4. There is a very clear connection between education and God, education and the truth of Jesus Christ. Today, with everything happening and people getting upset, stressed out, we really need to operate from his rest. And as these institutions depart from the Lord, we need to draw closer to the Lord. And we need to depart from anything that is promoting wickedness, including government institutions. Now, the Constitution was written for a moral or religious people. It is wholly unfit for any other. That was John Adams' quote. We need to follow that and understand that in the times that we are in, we may see some things that are absolutely crazy, but we're drawing into the Lord. We're operating from his rest. We are not at all doing things from our own strength, our own motivations. I think that that is, that's about as quick as I can make that part of it. We're now going to go into a couple things that are happening. Now, you will recall, and this is your daily intelligence briefing, you will recall a few months ago, we had Jack Decker on. Jack Decker was involved in the War Games several years ago that war game the scenario we are now living. And the good news of it, according to Jack, was that in almost every scenario, Patriots win. It was just a matter of time. The second most important part of that, and I'm going to dovetail that first one here in a second, but the second most important part of that was they would try to have some sort of a crisis, a cyber attack crisis, something like that, while there is a crisis in the Middle East and our troops are being deployed there, to foment unrest for this next stage of the attempted communist revolution in this country. Now, today there were a couple things in the news, and I'm going to give you some history that you haven't, you have probably never heard of. But I want to dovetail to what Jack Decker said on the Patriots winning. Here's the thing. Americans are not going to allow this to happen. We are going to stand up. We are already standing up in many areas. And we need to, all of us, right now, determine that we are not going to let them come door to door. We're not going to let them take away our firearms. We're not going to let them beat us over the head until we give up our freedoms. Doesn't matter what our neighbors are doing. Doesn't even matter what some of our family members are doing that are totally misinformed, especially on vaccines. What matters is what we do in this hour. And the next step is happening before our eyes. Now, I've talked about this in the past, so I want to put this in kind of an overview. Before major attempts to destroy a people or destroy a country, communists, socialists, national socialists, in the case of the Nazis, they're all on, and I don't like the left-right paradigm, but they're all on the totalitarian side of the equation. Socialists are totalitarians. Now, they could try to argue about that, but their own writings of their master, Karl Marx, are very clear on this. Okay. And really, it's a master behind that that we should all be concerned about. And that master is Satan. Concerned from the standpoint of what is our purpose here on earth right now? What are we supposed to be doing right now? Are we just supposed to be holding on to our salvation until we get out of here? Or are we actually supposed to be defeating evil everywhere we see it in the world? Coming against the plans of the enemy and destroying the plans of the enemy. So when I use the term concern, it's from that standpoint, not from a standpoint of fear. Now, getting back to the steps that are being taken by the communists. So what they do for a long period of time is they will demonize a population. In the former Soviet Union, they demonized the kulaks and many, many others. And then they turn that into something in the modern era where it's essentially lawfare. And they do warfare in the courts against these people, warfare against these people in the media as well, the leaders. They attack the leaders. Then when that doesn't work, then they attack the churches. When that doesn't work, then they criminalize behavior and they try to throw everybody in jail. And then they attack the food supplies to starve out any remaining dissidents. And again, this is a summary of in combining a whole bunch of different thoughts and theories. Right now, they are moving into the criminalization phase. So that's where we are. And the very end of this is the extermination phase, where they literally will set up camps and try to get rid of huge swaths of human beings. Under various guises, they'll do this, but this is the path the communists follow historically. the path that evil has fallen historically. So today, Jack Decker apprised me of a tweet that just came out from Jack Posobiec. Now, if you don't know who he is, you can follow him on Twitter. But it says this: the Biden administration is now planning to release a list of conservative social media influencers that were followed by January 6th defendants that questioned the integrity of the 2020 election. The list also includes members of Congress, per a White House official. So what they're trying to do now is criminalize anyone that is coming against this pretender and his regime. And we know the election fraud that has gone on. It's been proven in detail. Now it's being proven even greater by the reaction of these people to this. Biden, by the way, is the pretender, is heading to Pennsylvania, because now in Pennsylvania, they want to do a forensic audit as well. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But the New American has an article regarding the National Front, regarding South Africa. And Alerts USA had something about the U.S. Embassy in South Africa issuing a security alert warning of unrest and violence in Durban, Johannesburg, and Pretoria. These are the largest cities in South Africa. Urges a low profile. What's going on in South Africa? Well, first of all, Nelson Mandela and his wife were communists, okay? This was a communist takeover of South Africa when this stuff happened. And people don't like talking about this. Read the history of Rhodesia, how the Chinese and the Russians came in through Zambia and Mozambique into what we now know today as Zimbabwe to do a communist takeover. Now, people try to say that there was racism involved in Rhodesia. That just simply isn't true, when the army of Rhodesia was interracial. Just so we get the history correct. Now, this isn't South Africa, this is Rhodesia. But the communists intentionally came in through Mozambique, came in through Zambia, and began attacking. They formed gangs in those two countries. Those gangs then infiltrated into Rhodesia to attack the country, tried to attack the fuel supply lines. Has that happened in the last 2 months? Tried to attack the food supply lines. Is that happening right now? Tried to also get the bullets cut off of Rhodesia for them to be able to defend themselves through international pressure. Is that happening right now? They're using the same playbook, everybody. So now we're seeing, according to this New American article, we're seeing the stages of a communist takeover of that country kind of in the final stage. Quote, many in South Africa are questioning whether or not we're currently witnessing the final stages of a plan to reset government and usher in communist capitalism, if there is really even such a thing. After all, history dictates that a destabilized society will seek security and relinquish rights, freedoms, and sovereignty in exchange for security and stability. There's no question South Africa has been through a stage that resembles the demoralization phase. Now, I want to talk about this. There's four phases. Yuri Bezmenov, a.k.a. Thomas Schumann, who was a defector from the former Soviet Union to the United States. He was a member of Izvestia, which is the disinformation arm of the former KGB. And after demoralization, that was stage one, there was destabilization. And then the next step in the communist handbook is crisis, and then normalization, or the new normal. And then they repeat the cycle again. So right now, we're witnessing in South Africa, without a moral underpinning, people are more likely in a crisis to accept false and deceptive arguments. And although South Africans have been living with the devastating reality that at least 58 people are murdered every day in the country, there are few who could disagree that citizens have been thrust into a deeper survival mode as a result of the pandemic. That's a quote from the article. Now, one of the things that we're witnessing down in South Africa is the formation of what are known as the Sidelanders. It's the largest civil defense force in the world, private civil defense force, where people were banding together to protect themselves against violent attacks and murders and rapes. And they literally were setting up safe houses. They were putting all kinds of networks, logistics networks together. I mean, everything. If you haven't ever heard of that, you can. Here is the point. Here's the point. The government's recent decision to deploy the South African National Defense Force should be sounding alarm bells in South African minds, because what they're doing, and this is my commentary now, what they're doing is sowing fear into everybody so that more control can be implemented. Now, we've seen this happen in the United States. So take a look at this article on what's really going on in South Africa. This is really the final phase in an attempted communist takeover. All right, we're going to move next to the National Front. Actually, this is kind of national and international, okay? This is coming to us from the Daily Mail. Friend of mastermind behind assassination of Haiti president says America backed the killing. As it's revealed, DEA informant and FBI informants, oh my goodness, hear this again. DEA informant and FBI informants are among the suspected hitmen. Yes, you heard that. Take a look at these articles. I'm going to post them up across my entire social media footprint. Now, some people don't like Facebook. I've got 20 other pages I post to, so take a look at it. Look me up and follow the ones that you're most comfortable with. But the fact of the matter is that right now we are seeing created crises. And there's these continued ties to the FBI and to the DEA, to the federal government. We're continuing to see this. And this is not speculation. The DEA was forced to admit, actually, according to this article, one of the suspected assassins in the Haiti president's murder is a former informant. Former informant, of course, because a number of other suspects are also former informants for the FBI, according to a report. Incredible. Three U.S. citizens were also arrested over the assassination plot. Okay, pay attention to what's going on, everybody. Pay attention to what is going on. All right. Next, on the national front. The pretender has enlisted the aid of the Democrat National Committee as well as other left-wing allies to work with cell phone companies to spy on your private communications under the guise of fact-checking you. You will no longer be allowed to hold a private conversation without the government giving you pre-approved things to say, apparently. This is coming to us from Readout News. Now, I want to get into a little bit more detail on some of this, because these two things go, these things go together. This coming to us from The Last Refuge and Conservative Treehouse. Nancy Pelosi directs Capitol Hill security police units to regional offices in California and Florida. Future locations coming. We'll just say that again. The legislative branch, instead of protecting legislators with their security, is now apparently going to have offices around the country. That's creepy Stasi-like behavior. Nancy Pelosi is placing satellite field offices for the D.C. Capitol Police in key regions around the country. When we consider the FBI has field offices all over the country, you might ask, why does the Capitol Hill Police need to expand beyond Washington, D.C.? End quote. I don't even know if that's legal, but it's like it's the Praetorian Guard essentially expanding around the country. Then you have this coming to us from American Military News. Lawmakers in the House Appropriations Committee want the Department of Veterans Affairs to develop a plan for countering extremist recruiting efforts within the veteran community. In its $270 billion budget proposal for the department, the Appropriations Committee wrote in a summary on June 30th, the committee is concerned by foreign and domestic actions to exploit veterans through the use of online misinformation and manipulation. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second. This tells us a couple things. First of all, alternative media is working because they can't control it, so people are getting the truth. Now, they're framing it as misinformation and manipulation, but we know it's the truth. And this is scaring them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking this way. And then they call them extremist views and conspiracy theories, like the Constitution means what it says, like the American flag and the republic for which it stands are good things that we should actually have in classrooms. That the Bible is the inerrant word of God. These are the things that they're trying to come after. Conspiracy theories like there were FBI informants involved in January 6th or the murder of the Haitian president. You know, I mean, all they're doing is propaganda smearing, and they're going to use taxpayer money to try to come after veterans because they're scared veterans are, one, getting the truth, and two, are starting to stand up and say enough is enough. And I really firmly believe this. It's not just gun owners, not just the right to bear arms. I believe it is military veterans who love this country, who understand the Constitution means what it says, who love God, that literally are putting the fear of God into these people that want to destroy the republic and are standing between them and success. So remember to go read these articles, share them with friends and family. That's why I'm putting them all up there so you guys can share them. Don't be bashful about it. Try to put all the good ones in one place. Which brings us to the next article on the national front. This coming to us through Populist Press. The U.S. Capitol Police will use surveillance equipment provided by the U.S. Army to monitor Americans as part of a massive effort to improve security and transform the Capitol Police Force into, quote, an intelligence-based protective agency, end quote, following the January 6th riot in Washington, D.C. They are literally trying to create a national police force right now. That's what this is. They realize that local sheriffs aren't going to go along, that many local sheriffs are not going to go along. We obviously can't count Spokane in that, but many local sheriffs are not going to go along. Many local police chiefs are not going to go along. These guys want to now create an intelligence-based protective agency. In other words, they want to create a national police force, like a secret police, which they tweeted about. We talked about this back in November, where they literally put it up there on Twitter and Facebook. They want to create a secret police, and they want to use U.S. military hardware to do this. Oh, because, well, we're violating posse comitatus because we're not using military personnel, but we're going to use their equipment. They are declaring war on the United States of America, everybody. They are literally using military equipment with a secret police to begin spying on Americans in earnest. And now they want to put this same police force in offices around the country. Does everybody see this? Put this together. We've talked about this. This is exactly what communists do. And in addition to that, coming to us from Readout News, Fauci is now admitting you will be forced to get the vaccination, the so-called gene therapy. And Biden is, the pretender is saying people are going to come door to door. What else will they come door to door for our own good to try to implement? Could they come door to door to take guns because they're not safe? We are getting down that road so fast right now. Now, coming to us from Technocracy News, we're going to have Pat Wood on the show here in a bit. Technocracy News is fantastic. If you guys don't know about it, take a look. It is incredible. He is so far ahead of the curve on so many things. When the pretender announced this week he had commissioned surge response teams from the federal government to enter communities and neighborhoods with low vaccination rates to the point of, quote, knocking on doors, end quote, and pressuring people to get vaccinated. His press secretary said these federal agents are only coming to our doors because they, quote, care, end quote, deeply about us and don't want to see us die from the Communist Chinese Party virus. Always under the guise of safety. Also on the national front, I'm going to introduce a name to you. This is coming to us from And Magazine. Sam Faddis doing a fantastic job over there. Josh Geltzer, Biden's MAGA hunter. Josh Geltzer. I want you to remember that name. It's not a household name right now, but it should be. Josh Geltzer. He is Joe Biden's point man for weaponizing the federal law enforcement intelligence agencies and using them against Biden's political opponents. He is a special assistant to the president and special advisor to the Homeland Security Advisor on Countering Domestic Violent Extremism. In this role, Geltzer oversaw the creation of a new national strategy on countering domestic violent extremism. And I don't want to get into the absurd document that was produced by the Pretender's administration. But this is key. This individual, Josh Geltzer, has no background in intelligence or law enforcement, brings no actual knowledge. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like a political officer in the former KGB. Somebody who doesn't have any experience, but just wants to make sure everybody's towing the party line. He also was a mouthpiece in 2019 that Trump would refuse to accept defeat and was putting out the messages that were then compiled in the Transition Integrity Report that we have talked about so much on this show that literally predicted the headlines that were going to be in the news, because it wasn't a prediction, it was a plan. Josh Geltzer, go check that out. Everybody needs to know these names. Make sure your friends and family members know about these things as well. It's time to stand up, everybody. We've got to do it. And it starts with speech and not censoring yourself when people are trying to get you to back off of the English language. I had somebody do that because I used the term jackass in a sermon, even though that is exactly what is in the King James Version of the scripture. And it's that kind of censorship of the English language, innocent or not innocent, that is actually allowing for the abuse of power in our country right now. And there's a book written about this by Joseph Piper. If you haven't read it, it's called Abuse of Language, Abuse of Power. Fantastic short book. It's like 40, 50 pages. Free speech, the right to bear arms. And if you're a veteran, that oath never expired. Prepare to defend the Republic against this onslaught of the communists. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get the chance, go to Facebook/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. We are expanding as well. We're currently on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon. We're expanding to several other internet hubs like iHeart. So just go on your favorite one and just look up Patriot Radio, Matt Shea, and you will find it there. And remember that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has put us in this time not to watch things happen, but with him in us and with Holy Spirit working through us to make things happen for his kingdom. All right, my pleasure to introduce today Pat Wood. Once again, he is the editor-in-chief of Technocracy News. We were just talking about that, doing a fantastic job with it. Pat, thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Hey, Matt, doing great. Glad to hear your voice again.
Yeah, Good to hear yours as well, my friend. So you have done a lot of work. You've written article after article on technocracy. You've written a book on Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2. Where are we at? Just start there, kind of the broad overview. Where are we at right now with the technocrats?
Well, we're very close to endgame. I said at the beginning of the COVID debacle last year that this was technocracy's coup d'etat to shut down the global economic system, to take over the health system as well of the world, to introduce gene therapy. Now we know this later in the last several months that this messenger RNA vaccine, they call it vaccine, it's really a gene therapy shot unapproved by any medical authority in America. And yet hundreds of millions of Americans are being injected with this shot. And so we're upside down right now. This is the forefront of a revolution that's taking place in America. Actually, it's globally, but, you know, they really need to get rid of America in particular, because we're kind of the last group of freedom-loving, liberty-loving people in the world that at least has any ability to do anything about it. So that's kind of where we are. We're very close to the end game, and the global elite are asserting themselves at every corner that they can. And it's getting pretty ugly, I have to say.
Well, let's talk a little bit about transhumanism and technocracy before we get into some more details here. How are these two things connected? And then what are the control mechanisms? And we'll get to that here in a second. What are the control mechanisms that they're going to be trying to implement? And we're already seeing some of them in regards to both of those areas of technocracy and transhumanism.
Well, absolutely. You know, both, to understand the connection between technocracy and transhumanism, you kind of have to understand what scientism is. This is an evil religious philosophy that's been around for at least a couple hundred years, but it's been fine-tuned in the last 25 to 50 years. Scientism believes that science is a god, essentially, and that the scientists and engineers that hold to that position, they become the priesthood who stands between their god and the people, and then tells the people what science, the god, says, and tells the people then, well, here's what you need to do. Science says this, such and such. We see this in Anthony Fauci right now, by the way. Mm-hmm. But both technocracy and transhumanism are based on a scientism, a belief in scientism. And here's the easiest way to understand it. Technocracy is to the transformation of society, as transhumanism is to the transformation of the human conditions of people who will live in that society. So technocracy reforms society. Transhumanism reforms human beings. And in the latter case, they're doing it with genetic engineering. They're doing it by introducing these gene therapy shots that are in total disarray around the world. But, you know, Israel, I think, just introduced a third shot now. They've had two shots in Israel. Now they're going to do a third one, maybe to fight off another variant or maybe to correct some problems with the first one. This is going to be a never-ending stream of genetic modifying technology injected into people's bloodstream. It's incredible.
That's incredible. So let's go down the one road of trying to transform human beings right now. Then we'll go to transforming society. Okay. So transhumanism, transforming human beings, they quite literally want to genetically alter permanently, forever, humanity in the quest of doing what's good for us. And I believe this gene therapy, this is kind of the first wave of this stuff in earnest. They've been doing it for a while, but some of it is pretty crazy, isn't it?
Well, it is. And somebody would say, well, you know, maybe these gene therapy shots right now aren't that radical, but it's a slippery slope that we're on. And there are some totally disturbing things that surround it. For instance, the reports of vaccine injury or shot injury, whatever, after people take this shot is stunning, staggering around the world. And in any other era, in modern times, these vaccines would have been stopped months ago, cold in the tracks. They would have stopped them. But they're not stopping them, and not only that, but they're letting them continue at breakneck speed, and now the door is wide open to start vaccinating children as well in some states without parental consent or knowledge that they're getting the shot. And, this flies in the face of federal law, state law, and even the International Convention on Experimental Drugs that was settled after World War II in the Nuremberg Code. Yeah, and they're just ignoring that whole body of tradition and truth and cautions and everything else, throwing that out the window and saying, we're going to do this anyway. We don't need approval from the government to do this. We just, you know, we just need to get out there and do it. And this is what they're doing all over the planet. There's going to be huge consequences on this to life, I'm afraid. People's lives already, in some cases, are being changed forever by having taken this gene therapy shot. They never saw it coming. They didn't receive enough information to give informed consent, which is their right. And they get the shot, and then lo and behold, stuff starts happening to them. And, I mean, there's been thousands of people around the world who have died after taking these injections. Many of them have been paralyzed, brain injuries, internal organ injuries, heart attacks, you name it. And all caused by this gene therapy shot gone awry. But the medical authorities don't seem to care one way or another what happened. It's just amazing to me, Matt, that we could get this far with so many unthinking people out there just saying, oh, okay, sure, we'll do that.
Crazy. Yeah, it is. It is, and they've essentially offered the ultimate safety and security with the relinquishment of rights. And now the fact that the pretender is saying that he's going to, you know, wants to go door to door with surge teams, in addition to these new revelations about the use of military hardware by the D.C. Capitol Police to spy on Americans and created an intelligence law enforcement agency and then put quite literally offices around the country. I mean, this is getting not just creepy, this is getting seditious. I'm going to say that word and use it intentionally. This is getting seditious because they're going against the Constitution and just the basic principles, like you said, of just informed consent.
They are. And while most people have been concerning themselves with things like Marxism and communism and so on, this bigger picture has been completely missed. But now people are starting to see it. It's different. It's this, you know, you can't look at a Jeff Bezos of the world. There's all these billionaire oligarchs. You can't look at these people and say, oh, there's a Marxist if I ever saw one. There's a communist if I ever saw one. They're not communists. Clearly, they're not communists. Somebody like Elon Musk, he's not a communist. He loves communist China, but not because it's communist, because it's a technocracy. Mm. And, you know, this bigger picture right now, that the four largest five largest companies in the world that have a market capitalization exceeding $1 trillion each include Facebook, Amazon, Google, you get my idea. These giant big tech companies, every single spot in the top six are occupied by big tech. Now, their income, their market capitalization, in some cases, is bigger than the GNP of some very, you know, large countries around the world. These are the people that are exercising power and influence with impunity, and they're beginning to act like the nation state in the sense that, well, for instance, Google was just released or discovered that Google has formed its own private intelligence agency within its company.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, why would Google need an intelligence agency? That's what governments are supposed to do. That's what the CIA does, Mossad, M16, you know, whatever. And now Google feels it has to have its own. Well, let me tell you, Google and Amazon and the rest of them are thinking way beyond the concept of the nation state right now, and people have missed this. By the way, Zbigniew Brzezinski predicted this back in 1970 in his book Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. He nailed it back then as a visionary, political science visionary, and this is exactly what's happening today. They're taking over. And the nation state is just still scratching its head, wondering, how did this happen and how do we get out of the noose that they put around our neck?
Well, let's talk a little bit about this idea of technocracy and technocrats trying to transform society and control society. It's not just about monitoring every single thing that we do on the internet. I think most people understand today, if at least a reasoned people, that there really is no privacy left with the ability that people have to mine data on individuals. Mm-hmm. But quite literally, they want to control the way we think, what we see, what we hear. They don't want free speech, or if it's free in the sense of here are your options because these are the options we choose for you.
Yes. Well, technocracy proves the point that what you cannot monitor, you cannot control. Conversely, what you can monitor, you can control. So monitoring and observing a system, in this case, people and society, the more that society can be monitored, the more effectively that it can be controlled from top to bottom at all levels. And this has been the technocrat holy grail ever since the 1930s when it first started at Columbia University. They knew that. And people say, "Well, how do they know that at Columbia University?" Well, the Technocracy Study Group was located there in Hamilton Hall. That was the basement in Hamilton Hall. The other half of which was occupied by IBM, or the early iteration of IBM that built the first holographic tabulator that was taken straight to Nazi Germany to do statistical analysis and manage lists of things like train schedules, et cetera, et cetera. That allowed Hitler to do a lot of the stuff that he did. They rubbed shoulders with these people back then. They were visionaries. They knew, they saw the direction this thing was going to take. And this indeed is the direction it's taken. Brzezinski nailed it. He also was a co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, by the way, which pledged to create a new international economic order. And that's what we have right now. Let's go look at the Great Reset at the World Economic Forum. That is exactly what the Trilateral Commission was talking about in 1973, when they first started. It's exactly what they're talking about, a new international economic order. And the word new doesn't just mean rearranged. I discovered about 12 years ago it actually means new, N-E-W. and they mean for it to be new.
And contrary to everything that we love and that we hold dear, I think that that's the... This literally is an attempt to destroy this country. It's literally an attempt to destroy anything good in this world. And particularly, they have a fondness for attacking Christians. And part of the control mechanism is coming after the church and trying to shut down the church. They see that as a great threat to what they're trying to do, because Christians gather every Sunday and they get the truth, and they can't control that.
Well, they can't. And as a belief system, Christianity in general does not bend. Now, people could argue that a little bit with, you know, the concept of apostasy and stuff like that. But generally speaking, Christianity is pretty unilateral in its belief system. You see, this is the way God said it. This is the way it's going to be. It's settled. It's rigid in that regard. And all other religions of the world are not rigid. You know, you can convince them one way or another. There was a time when Mormonism, for instance, was extremely liberal, if not bordering on communist. They changed their colors back, in the 50s or so. They changed their colors. Now they're arch-conservative. Hinduism has all kinds of flavors. It's not, you know, it's totally inclusive. So is Islam pretty much now. Although it's rigid in some ways, it's just certainly it's got lots of schisms. The competition with technocracy is that the technocrats are rigid concerning science. If the science is settled, they say, it doesn't matter what it is, if science is settled, if they have determined science says such and such, there's nothing to discuss, period, and subject. Christianity comes along with a different worldview, just as rigid as technocrats are. And you can see why there's going to be a collision and a crash and a clash. The two cannot tolerate each other. So it has come out now very clearly that technocrats are very much against Christians at every level of society. And we see this, you know, of course, there's lots of other people who have hated Christians over the ages, too. But, you know, you can see like the wave of churches that got burned to the ground up in Canada this last month. Like, what's that all about? Well, yeah, the pressure is on for the Christian world, for Christian churches. And a month ago, I think, Matt, you probably saw the study that said the church attendance in America has dropped below 50% for the first time in our history. Incredible.
It is incredible. I want to talk, too, about some of the control mechanisms that are, and I'm not just talking about the obvious things like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Celebrating China. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about some of the technology itself, like the guy. You guys had an article up that I didn't see anywhere else. Absolutely fantastic on the first ever autonomous drone strike against human beings, where human beings were literally targeted intentionally as part of a drone swarm. These technologies are out there right now, where the technocrats can be a very small minority and then try to leverage technology over the vast majority of people and keep them under their thumb. Explain to the listeners a little bit about that, if you could.
Well, the military has been smack dab in the middle of the technocracy movement for a long time. Even President Eisenhower warned us in his farewell speech about the military-industrial complex, and in the next breath about the technological elite. The context of the whole sentence was they're all involved in, you know, in the whole thing together. And we see this today where organizations like DARPA and the military, they're chock full of technocrats that see science as a solution to everything in the world. Well, the military has been developing these crazy technologies for tracking, like organizations like DARPA and IARPA and so on. And the arms race has been on now for AI technology to be able to identify and track enemy combatants, wherever they might be, and attack them with things like drones. And, of course, 4 or 5 years ago, when we brought this up and it was being talked about globally, the governments of the world, including our U.S. military, protested, that will never happen here. You know, nobody's going to do that. You know, we have like an arms agreement understanding here that's not going to be killer robots that prosecute World War III. Well, you know, I just shook my head and said, yeah, we'll see about that. You know what's coming. You know what they're going to do. If they get the technology, they're going to exercise it. So there's two stories that came out just in the last 2 weeks. One is, yes, the first ever autonomous AI search and destroy drone swarm is deployed in combat. Actually, it was deployed in Israel. But here we have a swarm of drones who talk to each other and navigate as a group, as a pack. And if one drone gets shot down or somehow disabled, the other ones just pick up where it left off. Just kind of imagine like the old Star Wars the race called the Borg. The collective mind. and then China just came out released some information on a killer underwater drone that carries a missile, it carries a torpedo that can track and blast submarines with no human input whatsoever. So that means if push comes to shove and the Chinese deploy, say, 500 of these killer underwater drones, they can navigate, 50 to 100 feet below the water, sensing out submarines and other ships and stuff that they come in contact with. And if their AI program determines they're an enemy, they can dispatch their torpedo, which can be nuclear-tipped, by the way, and blow them to kingdom come.
Wow.
The arms race is on. That's my point. China's doing it. America's doing it. Russia's doing it. Israel is doing it. They've been a high-tech leader for a long time, of course. Any industrialized country in the world is going to be all over this technology, and unfortunately, so are terrorist groups, because it's an easy, it's kind of a low entry, low barrier, to get into. You can buy most of the components already off the shelf. There's going to be a lot of people that get into this arms race, and it could have devastating effect in the future on warfare.
Well, in the last couple minutes that we have left, where can people go to find out more information, to get involved, to stop this nonsense?
Well, number one, certainly to go to technocracy.news, which is what we're talking about here. But I want to encourage people to get involved with us over at citizensforfreespeech.org. And, we need to mount a defense, and in a hurry. We believe that the First Amendment is under the most egregious attack in our country's history. That's mostly because of the medical pandemic stuff with wearing face masks and stuff being censored all over the place, and social distancing, and all these kinds of things. This is an attack on the First Amendment. We need to resuscitate the First Amendment and protect it, because if we lose the ability to communicate, you and I will not be having another conversation like this together ever.
Well, I think that's critical. We have to fight while we still have the ability to do so, and it starts with stop living lies, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn talked about. Start preaching the truth. We have so many different social media platforms out there as well. Are there social media platforms that you would recommend where people can go to really amplify free speech and the truth?
Well, I think so. I think, there's MeWe, there's Gab, there's, a couple of other sites like that are growing, and they're getting some traction. The problem is, of course, there are no Facebooks out there that have 2 or 3 billion users. It's just not at that level yet. So you have to pick a social media platform and just commit to it, basically stay on it, invite your friends to join you there, and hopefully you can build, a group, some group synergy and stuff, of activities you can get involved. We're also working at Citizens for Free Speech for a social network that has only serves people who are would consider themselves to be activists in their local community. And we're trying to help people learn how to be good local activists to make a difference right where they live. And you could take this story, by the way, after I'm off the air sometime, go review the story of Nehemiah and how the wall around Jerusalem was rebuilt. Just the methodology that he used to where each individual family, wherever their house was, they took care of the section of the wall right in front of them. And the result was the wall got rebuilt, and the people considered it a miracle because it only took them, 52 days to do it. This type of local activism needs to come back in America. We need to get out in our communities and start mixing it up with our city council members and with, the county commissioners and so on. And this is where this nonsense starts in the first place. This is where we need to root it out.
Absolutely agree with you. Pat Wood, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Keep up the fight, and really love to have you back on again here before the end of the summer as things continue to progress and we see some of the more creepy aspects of technocracy coming out publicly. Thank you.
You bet. My pleasure. Matt. Bye.
All right. Pat Wood, Technocracy News. Check it out online, technocracy.news, and just put it up on your bar where you got your favorites and everything. Something I go to almost every day just to see what the weirdness is out there and get an idea of where they are at in their plan so that we can continue to stop it. We don't want to just know their plan and not do anything. We want to do something about it. We want to stop them. And as I'm posting a lot of this stuff up online too, you know, there are certain people that want to limit our free speech, destroy our ability to communicate. So you've got to go, everybody listening to me right now, please go to at least one or two of these sites. You don't have to go to all of them. One or two of these sites, just so you have some redundancy, so you can get the news. Follow my pages on these sites. MeWe, Gab, Getter, G-E-T-T-R, WeSpeak, USA Life, Minds. I'm on all of them. Go to these things. And just pick a couple of them. You know, again, you don't have to go to all of them. Pick a couple of them so that you can stay informed and you can take those links and share them. You can read through the articles and educate your friends and family members who try to resist this stuff. So I just really want to encourage everybody out there right now. Now is the time. Do not let people get away with talking in public garbage stuff about patriots, about this country, about the things that Trump is exposing now and many others are beginning to expose. Start standing up for the truth and saying, wait, have you read the primary source document? Have you actually seen the vaccine adverse event numbers? Have you actually gone there? Or are you just guessing and parroting everything that you're reading and seeing in the news, the mainstream media? Which brings up the other thing. Don't listen to the local news. I mean, you can get the weather maybe, but even that's wrong all the time. I know some of you are laughing about that. Start going to the truth and spreading it for the kingdom. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening to me. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.